Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Where are you?
I've left my apartment that I was renting for a bit, so I start my holiday tonight, pretty much, and left the apartment that I was staying at a little early, so hence me being all over the fucking place this week, but it is what it is. Life happens sometimes, right?
Yeah, we're only an hour, boy. It's in like, we're on a COD.
Video games.
Remember them, do you?
I genuinely feel like I've grew up a lot since I've come here, like, I just barely touch them. I've been playing Fractured But Whole, South Park game.
There's not a lot of players in Australia.
No, well, there is, but you have to have, like, fucking shit-hot internet to play it, because the ping is 300-plus every single time if you're in Melbourne.
Well, I don't know where them two are. They're definitely mooching about. He said it before we uncovered it at past nine.
You cannot rely on the Twins for sticking to their times. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, he's in my lobby door. Right, look at what's going on.
Welcome along to the Macam Football Show, where we are extremely organised.
I don't really want to wait for them. I'm not pre-recorded. Like,
I started the recording. I can just trim bits out. Like that's the benefit of not being live. One thing I have been doing, though, because you're not on camera, is been cutting out the bits where you go, you know. It's just really interesting to learn each of our verbal habits.
Yeah, I mean, when you're teaching, so like, you've got like nuances when you teach. I had one lad who used to teach me, he used to say hockey a lot.
It's a verbal validation.
Should we just start then?
Yeah, why not? We've got two games to cover, and I know you didn't quite catch the Stoke game, but we have got the Stoke game and the Bristol City game. So, first things first. Drawing to Stoke. No, we beat Stoke and we drew to Bristol City, so go get that right in my head.
Just drew with Stoke 1-1.
That was it. You see what I mean? Like when you pick up on it, you do it again and again. So the Stoke game, 2-1 win at the Stadium of Light. A solid performance overall, but the initial start of it, wow. Kind of sloppy for the goal that we conceded, but it was against the run of the play, right? It didn't feel like Stoke earned anything at that moment.
And the weather was grim.
Yep.
It was Storm Dara, I think it was. Tommy Watson with two goals. Goes on from the week before where we said he got man of the match against Sheffield. He said something gets two goals there, so I'm happy for him on a personal level. But as far as, a win's a win. 2-1's 2-1. You know what I mean? So I was happy with the points.
Fair enough. So I watched the whole game, mate, and like I wouldn't say the vibe was off, but like you said, there was the weather there as well. Everybody was just a little bit cautious to start the game, and maybe that's how Stoke got ahead. We didn't really know how to react or interact with. It wasn't waterlogged, but it was it was definitely a swamp to run through.
So like, it's part of the game, like the weather, and not a lot of people turned up. You know what I mean? It was a Saturday afternoon. I feel like when the stadium's empty, it's not as intimidating for your team. Do you know what I mean?
The fact that we're undefeated at the Stadium of Light still, and yeah, like you said, we'll get on to it in a bit about stadium and the capacity and the numbers that they're reporting. The atmosphere did feel a little bit off, and maybe it was because everybody was just trying to stay far away from the pitch itself just to stay dry. It kept us off the pace, but
it wasn't postponed.
Yeah, there was only a couple of games postponed, weren't there? There weren't that many.
Yeah, but I didn't want it. Like, I heard a few bits before, and I was like, no, because I feel like if we have games backed up and there's pressure on us to win, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be good. Like, so I was happy it went forward. Like,
oh, me as well, mate. Because like you said, I'm just pulling up the Saturday's fixtures across the board. There was the Everton-Liverpool game, of course. But in our league, the Plymouth-Argyle and Oxford game was postponed. It could have been called off if the referee was being a bit like, I can't be asked to work today kind of vibe. But it wasn't unsafe. Everybody could get to the stadium. And other than it actually impacting how slow some of the players looked, because obviously it's heavy, it didn't really impact the game overall. I'd say a couple of players shone and a couple of players didn't really take to the weather very well. But that, again, that could be the individual game or could be just them at the moment, their form. So we've just got to take that with a little bit of a pinch of salt.
Who was? Was he man of the match, was he?
Oh, Tommy Watson was definitely man of the match. I don't know what it is with our left wingers at the minute, but obviously Clark, Mundell and Watson, they could all just be like the next best thing since sliced bread down the left wing for any team. And I think any team in the Premier League, to be honest, they're that good.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic performance from Watson. When we went behind, and I've got to say, I feel like it was a completely against some of the player, but not atypical of what we do. We just fall asleep for a couple of seconds. The centre backs weren't switched on at all. And I wouldn't say no. I think it was genuinely a good Stoke attack. I don't think there was a mistake. The mistake was probably in the midfield that allowed them to gain possession. But once they had possession, then they were never not going to score. It was just a case of, I don't know, maybe on that one play itself, it did deserve a goal. But overall in the game, they didn't deserve the lead. Pretty much kick off, and then we level up with the Tommy Watson strike within, I think it was like 72 seconds, something that short. It just got our tails up a little bit, and we were just like, we've got to switch on all day now. After we went 1-1, it was one, I'd say 100% Sunderland, with maybe one or two Stoke counter-attacks, but nothing as dangerous as their goal. The better team won. It is that simple.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Also, Stoke are one of those teams that genuinely play better in bad weather. So, have you been to the Britannic or the Bet365 before?
I've never been there, no.
It's kind of engineered and designed to be a wind funnel. So it'll allow people to like long ball it a bit better. Because they cut out the two corners and where the motorway is and what have you, it does act as like this weird amphitheatre of just crap weather, so they normally would play better in the stormy conditions that they play at the stadium. Like,
well, a bit, you know, I mean, not in the wingers in there, I think like, probably every stadium, like, you know, but obviously, we like seeing like to pick up fucking rubbish and fucking plant it on the fucking pitches now. That,
yeah, the chip back a tornado.
What I want to say about the Stoke game, we dug them out last, I didn't dig them out, but Patrick Roberts got an assist, so I feel like if you keep slagging players off every podcast, they might play good the next fucking games, you know what I mean?
It does seem to be a running theme. It's happened three times now, was it? First one was Meander, then it was Watson was the most recent one. Who was it before? Oh, Watson, then Roberts.
Isidore.
Now, to be fair, there is a player I want to highlight as being like, he's been called out, he's been like fantastic and brilliant, but for me, I think he's just been okay. Job has been okay in the middle of the park over the last two games since our last podcast. He's been okay in the Stoke game and okay in the Bristol City game. He didn't light the world on fire to me, and
a bit too long sometimes. He did against Bristol. But what I'd say about him in the midfield, they're like them three together. Work, big, Job and Neil. It looked the more settled midfield. So I can't really, you know. So like you could see everyone's performance, don't they? And I think sometimes when people have a bad performance and you notice it, you tend to like look at them more and forget about players. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
no one's ever, certainly hasn't had a stinker. Do you know what I mean? Yes. but maybe he'll have one and then we'll see, oh, he's had a few stinkers and then we still have digging him out, but we can get over the pitch. You're only as good as your last game, you know what I mean? That's a fact. So overall, as the team goes, I think he improves it, you know. But on a sort of like personal assessment of him, I feel like sometimes he does hold on to the ball a bit too long. I was going to be uber, like, you know, picky, critical. But
yeah,
I am probably, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and like you said, if you're holding on to the ball too long, it's just not finding the right pass or the right movement. So a bit of a dynamic there. Like you mentioned about the trio. What do you think about Brown's place in that then? Because he was brought in to be the mature head, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do we need
him? We still need, yeah, of course we need another midfielder. Do you know what I mean? In case of injury or fucking suspension or whatever. So yeah, I feel like we still need depth because when I was looking at the bench, we've got injuries and Peter have been sick and that, and we're starting to struggle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, I'm not saying we're going to dip into the transfer market, but, you know, you can always improve. I feel the club, you know, should recognise that. If you want to move forward, you should never just like, oh, that's it for now, we don't need anyone. You know, you could always be open to receive and sell players, and to just a point on that, Speakman did actually come out the other day saying that he listed off a few players that were no longer required. Barr was one of them. Bennett was another one. I can't remember the fucking list, but that came out that they can look for another club in January. He was about six of them.
Really? I've not seen this.
Yeah, it was social media, sort of. I mean, it may be bullshit, like, but it looked legit. Like, I'll try and find it while you talk to me.
That would be awesome, because then, like you said, there is a lot of players that do give off that vibe, and we have brought up their names a couple of times. Adil Oshish was one of them as well, but he's starting to come back into the squad, which is a really nice, healthy surprise. He played fantastic in the Bristol City game. He was awesome. But he hasn't featured for the majority of the season for a reason, and that might be squad selection, squad depth, injuries, whatever, and he's the second, maybe third choice in that position. But when he came on, I think he's trying to prove himself, and that's what we want from our players. Players to constantly say, look, we want to wear the shirt, we want to play football, and we want to be here. If they're not like that and they're on that list, then get rid of them. We don't need under-23s, under-21s, academy players. We need players who want to play for the first team, because I think we're uniquely placed in this country, in the AFL, of actively putting academy players, kids, on the first team if they are ready now. Watson's a good example. Riggs a good example. Job. There's a reason we've got the youngest squad in the championship and we're high flying, because we're looking for the aptitude and attitude of players with obviously a side of talent, but the drive to perform is what we want, not just to rock up to work. And there is some players in this league that are like that. They've got the talent, but they're just treating it like a job. It's not a passion for some players.
I've got the list here. Right?
Yeah.
It fucking Echo and another other websites. So these are there. Mm-hmm. Johnny Transfer Wonder. These six players are made available by someone. Joe Anderson. Don't really know much about him. Zach Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Bennett, obviously. Barr. Oshish and Rooten. So they're all available to be bought or to look for another club in January. They made an assessment and they're not cutting the mustard, which, fair enough, you know what I mean? I haven't, and not one of them players, I thought, well, we need to keep him, you know what I mean? So,
to be fair, none of them have been on the pitch that much.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Roshan obviously scored the goal a couple of months ago at the tail end of last season to be the only striker to score. He was our first striker to score last season. It was like 30 games in. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, the list. Adil Oshish, now that he's actually playing again, does a tiny bit, but if you said this like 2 weeks ago, I would have went, oh, that entire list makes complete sense.
I don't think he's playing because of like we're sort of struggling at the minute with injury and suspension. You know, maybe he's an element of that.
Maybe. Like you said, we are struggling down that side, but it does make sense because he's an option. He is there. He's fit. He's not on loan. Teo does surprise me he's not on that list. And if he was here, we'd do loan shark. But Triantis?
I don't know. Maybe they're looking for another full season and a better return on Triantis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. Look, Speighton's obviously fucking, like I said, he's a bit of a gambler. And, he takes a punt on things. And if it doesn't work, he puts them to the grid. So he's sort of got it right, I'd say, 90% of the time. So can't really argue with the decision to put them on a transfer market.
Fair, mate. Fair. It's very rare, though, that clubs put their players that publicly on the transfer list. So is there, because I don't know why, but this reminds me of like playing Football Manager and FIFA back in the early days, where you get to see like players being like, you could put this person on the transfer market directly, so people actively put bids in for them. It reminds me of that. I don't really remember for the last like 15 years that being a thing. It's obviously, there is a transfer market and there's a free agent list and what have you. But I think the scouting system is what's become the new normal in that, right? It's not how football works nowadays.
We're a big academy club, aren't we? We've always been fairly good at that. Mm. Do you know what I mean? We've got past academy products that have gone on to do really well. So I think there's a fact that, you know, I like both sort of elements, you know what I mean? I don't think we should rely heavily on one or the other. So there's a fine balance because, you know, obviously academy products can be obviously cheaper and look more lucrative at the end if they do well.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want a bit of morale and, I don't know, I think this is always a prime example of a good buy or a loan, I should say. To boost morale and to give a bit of quality, so you know, a bit of both is, you know, ideal. You know, and as we further go, maybe up the league, and you know, FFP is a big player in all of this as well. Can he just go out and fucking buy your way to a fucking championship like you could in the past? So we have to be a bit more shrewd, and I think where we do business is, you know, is like that, you know. So I'm happy with the way we're going, but I just think if we get promoted, it's more chips on the table, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's like you said, Speedman's a bit of a gambler. It does feel like we're buying, like, the easiest example, because it's just like a tangible product for a performance thing, cars. It's like buying a Golf or a just a small little hatchback and expecting it to win races and go up in value, or like, just perform better, or have the right parts, or there's a hidden gem in there, rather than buying the big flashy Premier League ready players or Premier League former Premier League players for multiple millions and them not performing. we mentioned it very briefly on the last podcast about Samed as well. Like, he's not, we spent a couple of million on him. He's been injured when we bought him, and we don't know what he's like on the pitch. But there's a name on it. Yeah.
Won't be decent, because, you know, spending that much money on someone who's injured is madness, and we haven't even seen him yet. So
yeah, but to the polar opposite end, we spend that much money on him and he hasn't performed, but we spent barely anything on two players that have performed fantastically in Metham. Obviously, the Metham is not a purchase, but you got Metham and Brown, and who else has just come in and absolutely lit the world on fire? Wilson Isidore. Yeah, loans and what are there, but there's options to buy, and they're proving they're worth the purchase. So maybe we look at the loan market with options to buy as our go-to, because there's a lot of investment and a lot of money getting thrown at players that are just getting a meal ticket, basically, for doing nothing. I know injuries are something you need to massively sympathise with and get the road to recovery right. Don't overbear them in training and what have you. But you need to play that smart. And if that person is a glass slipper, we just don't want to ruin our chances because we've spent X amount of millions on one player that's not played a single minute, when we could have got some or two other loanees or two other players that are basically filling those injury gaps up. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Whoa.
Oh, isn't that right, Davey?
And Andrew.
And Andrew.
It was just quick. So, yeah, Stoke. Shall we move on to the Bristol game?
Sure, mate. Why not? What a absolutely bizarre game that was. First half, we were fantastic, yeah. Right? I'll let you. You were there, mate. You described the entire game, because, yeah, first-hand experience.
First half, we dominated. Obviously, we should have scored a couple of times. I think the main one of the sticks was probably Wilson Zeta. I think there was a shot blocked as well. I was at the event, so I couldn't really see. But I just thought I thought it was just going to be another sort of West Brom type scenario. But the second half was fucking abysmal. And I feel like we do that a bit too often. Like, we'll have a good first half, and then something happens in the second half with, I don't know, the other teams reacted to how we're playing, and we can't really change. Do you know what I mean? It takes us a while to sort of get our foot back in. I don't know what it is. It's maybe something to do with, again, like, I don't know, banging about this stadium being, but the atmosphere was fucking dead. You know what I mean? It was flat. It's Tuesday night. People don't work. Get it? You know, it was only 35,000. But I just felt the whole performance in the second half was way, way off the mark. They pressed really. Their game plan worked the second half. It pressed really high. Put us under pressure. We couldn't get into a rhythm. Watson went off and injured, which didn't help, and he put me under.
Mm-hmm.
He swapped me in and put me on. And I just feel, when that happened, I don't think Mienda was totally comfortable with that. It didn't feel like it anyway. You know what I mean? So there was that sort of dynamic. When Patrick came on, and again, we looked at the bench and we were like, fucking hell, what's he going to do here? Because it was dry when they scored the football. And by the way, it was a messy goal.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't well constructed. It was fucking another sort of, like, I think it was a set piece. We're in the corner. I think we actually got lobbed in, ping-ponged around, and ended up with some fucking dude on the edge of the box who nearly fucking put it over the bar. You know what I mean? So their goal wasn't well thought out, but I mean, they hung on in there, and that's all they were looking for.
So, mm-hmm.
Like, every time I got to the stadium, they'll sit deep and fucking show pressure up and counter. Well, second half, they do it. They press a little bit more in the second half. We should probably talk about the manager and pull a thing though, because we did actually go in the first half. Goal. Well, Patrick Roberts came on, but this is where I kind of like Jovan. That Jovan was on the ball a bit too long. We were trying, we just forcing it a little bit too much. I know they were sitting deep, like, and Patrick come on and didn't really do a lot until he scored, you know. And fair play to him. I'll take someone playing shit, like, if they're gonna fucking get an assist or a goal, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're not having a great game, or it's not like that. He scored, so he's had a goal. He's got an assist last game, and a goal this game. So can't really moan at Patrick. You know what I mean?
No.
Sometimes people come on and don't do anything. You know what I mean? So I'm happy for him, because maybe he'll kick on after he scored. It was a good strike. You know what I mean? And you know, she's got a good assist. So. It was a sheesh. What is this?
It was a sheesh. Yeah, it's a sheesh. Yeah. You said it was on the list.
His hair was putting me off. I thought, like, because he shaved all his fucking hair off. I thought,
and he screwed his beard off. Out.
So, look, I've dug out a sheesh yourself as well, like for performances, but fair play to both of them. One got a goal. And it was right at the death as well, mate. The stadium was partly empty. I was going to stop this time pretty much, so.
It was dire atmosphere, to be fair, but
really flat, you know, that.
I mean,
I just feel like, I don't know what it is, but we're fourth. I get it. We've drawn quite a few, but we still need to be, you know, positive about where we are. I think fourth's decent at Christmas. I never, you know, you'd have took that at the start of the year, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And to be fair, mate, we could be top. We could, literally this weekend, we could be top. If three results go our way, we're top of the league. We're in the fight for the automatics. And I think it's where we've deserved to be, where we've earned the right to be. Obviously, we had a massive drawing spell in November, but we have had some tough results go our way. Obviously some slip-ups, and we do have an absolutely quality talented team that are on the ascendancy. So this is going to preemptively probably just like sound like I'm backpocketing an excuse just in case, but if we don't go up this season, there's absolutely no reason why we can't do it next season. As champions, because the teams that are potentially coming down are absolutely free falling. If you look at the bottom four of the Premier League, I can't see any of them challenging next season in the Championship, because they will look to a mass exodus. But the three teams that are above us are, they've still got the parachute payments, they're still the favourites to win the league, every one of them. Sheffield United, Leeds and Burnley have all been put ahead of us before the start of the season as potential champions. It's Sunderland were never in that list, but the way we're performing, our quality in our squad, we're surprising some people in that start of season prediction list by how well we've proven our players, and our tactics under Le Bree have surprised people a little bit. So
that sort of mindset to this, like, if it was, you know, if we don't go up and we, you know, the likes of fucking Rig, Job, you know what I mean, getting fucking up with money.
So do you think it's, you know, so you think it's doom or bust if we don't go up then?
Nah, I just think.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'd like to go up this season and keep the youth that we've got, you know, and add. Hey, like, if we don't go, some of them will leave. Not a rebuild, but it's another sort of like project to get the team where it should be.
Yeah.
But I just still think we're playoff bound. I said that at the start of the season. I just think like you said, the other sides of like Leeds, the dominant man, and got some really good players. Sheffield United, alone, we should have beat them. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm happy with the playoffs, but it's something in it. It's something to sort of what we get through.
Yeah, I think.
Although I love automatic, no worries, but something just irks me about like it's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? The draws that we've had is testament to that sort of like thought process. Is just we're drawing too many. We still be fucking winning.
I've just had a look at the league table. We can't be top this weekend. We're on 37 points. Sheffield's on 42 and Leeds on 41. I've missed out some results then.
It's Swansea doing well as well, by the way. You know what I mean? In ninth or something, or eighth, I don't know.
Ninth,
27 points. You've had a couple of good results as well, so they'll be going in confident. Yeah. I don't know what he was got available and who's not available. No, Luke O'Neill wasn't very well. He wasn't even on the bench against Bristol, so apparently he's back in contention. But let's just see who was available for the weekend. Let's get through Christmas and then. If Speakman's made a statement about, these six are allowed to go, maybe there's guys coming for them and maybe we're looking into that. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, fair enough, mate. With the league position and where we're at right now, I think if we drop out of the playoffs by the end of the season, that will have been an absolute collapse. We deserve at least top six. We deserve at least top six. Oh, I think we... Not deserve. It's probably the wrong phrase. It's more... what's the word I'm trying to look for? We're well within our rights to expect top six performance. Top six in this league finish based on the performances.
Fans' expectation versus club's ambition, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both want... I think obviously fans want to quit it and still do, but I think the club will be disappointed if we didn't make the playoffs minimum. I think there will be. I think LeBree's here for another season, regardless, because he's done really well. So I don't know. We'll see. It's about talent, what the managers doing like that to do that merry go round again, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give people enough time is, there is an amount of time where you go, you've had a goal, mate, you've been here 2-3 years, it's not happening. I feel like Breeze is starting on his journey, so I would see him gone, mate.
I don't think that's even the general zeitgeist of conversation. There's no call for it at the minute. I know we've had a dip of November, but there is a call for it. I have seen one person on Twitter basically say, when Mowbray got sacked, we had X amount of points. When Beale got sacked, he had X amount of points. LeBree now has had this amount of points. And it was like a spell of 8 games. Like they used their point status thing. It's like, well, why isn't LeBree getting talked about? And the general conversation around that was league position. We're fourth. We're a couple of points off the top spot. It's not that difficult for us to climb back up within a game or two, whereas before we were slipping and slipping.
You can see him manage the team, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. Whereas Bill didn't have a fucking clue, you know what I mean? So I don't know why I'm even putting Bill in this conversation. He's a fucking moron. So we're fourth.
Yeah,
tough game at the weekend. You know what I mean? Let's fucking get a result and keep in the fucking chase. That's all we can ask for. You know what I mean? As far as when you're sitting there, listen to fans behind us and that one time, like forward, keep attack, mate. You know what I mean? It's a tactical game now. You know what I mean? It's not like fucking kicking rush like kids. I was thinking and people just leaving in the fucking droves. It was like I always stay at the end. You know what I mean? And Patty scoring a fucking 90th minute. So
the
problem with Sunderland fans sometimes is patience, mate. We haven't got any. We haven't got any patience. Like we want tackle football. We want goals. We want it now. Football is not like that. It's a long old season. You've got to fucking be realistic.
Yeah. Okay.
What I will say about fucking fans' justification was the fucking the referee, mate. Was atrocious. Absolutely atrocious.
Can we just start our podcast of a referee review? Because that is going to be... I'm pretty sure we've said the referee's been shit at least 12 times so far. And we're, what, 20-odd games in?
Lads, you look about fucking 80-year-old. Honestly, I don't know where they dig these fucking relics up to ref the championship games. He was so far behind play that there was a handball at one point. It was a blatant handball. The linesman looked at it. He let it carry on.
Yeah.
The ref would see as well, by the way. And then I think it was a penalty show for us. And a time wasting as well. It took him ages to get grip of fucking Bristol time wasting. And he was doing it like really near the end. I was like, this has been going on for like 30 minutes, mate. It was just bad. It was just, I don't know, just the refereeing standard. I don't think I've seen the ref yet that I haven't worn about. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just shit.
The idea of a referee is to, one, the first thing of the referee, or the first thing I think a referee should be doing is protecting the player's safety. Second is to ensure the game is active and maintained. So player safety and then active maintained game. If the players are proactively slowing the game down to the point where the game is not being played at all, i.e. they're holding on to it for a throw for like 30 seconds when there's like six options, that's a yellow card. If their goalkeeper is holding on to the ball for more than the 6 second rule, which has been ignored for decades. Now, it needs to be penalised, and free kicks taking way too long, corner kicks taking way too long. Anytime the ball goes out of play, they just slowly walk from it. It needs to be kicked out the game. I know it's natural because, well, you're winning, you're 1-0 up. Every second counts, I guess.
You could have given it near the end, but it was too late. Like, you know, I mean, well, you equalised. Come on, ref.
Right. I'm going to ask you a question about time wasting, though. When was the last time you saw a player get sent off for time wasting? Not just a yellow card, like actually sent off for it.
Remember.
That's why. Because nobody wants that. This referee reputation sends people off for time wasting. I think they should fry for it. That, as a referee, will get your name in the books and climb you up with the Premier League, because you're trying to get the game going. You're trying to make the game entertaining. Well, not you're trying to, but like, you're proven that you're following the rules properly, and that's what I think referees would ideally want their brand to be. We are doing the right by the game and the players, rather than whatever. Crack on, lads.
Refs, I guess. What? I tell you what, I'm going to have a dig at. This sounds strange, right?
Okay.
Not, well, you may think I'm being dense, but ball boys, mate. The fucking ball boys we have, there's a couple of times this season, like, are these fucking... You know what I mean? There's a sort of all these kids. I don't want to go down the fucking label them route, but they just seem slow. You know, I don't know if you remember a couple of seasons ago when Moreno was managing and fucking ball boy got an assist. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one.
Took the ball at the fucking beer. I don't know which team it was. And he basically set the goal up because he was quick thinking. Always, mate, look like the thing on space. And like, we're behind here, and they're just like leaving. Someone needs to, like, I don't know, treat this like it, you know, how important it is to, you know, I get time wasting not giving the opposition the ball, but when it's our team and we're behind, you need to fucking use your love. Do you know what I mean? I know the kids, but let's be honest. If you want them to do a good job, they're not just there because it's a free match. Do you know what I mean? I just think whoever's running them needs to like set the standard out and go, look, you're a ball boy. Yeah, it might not sound important or look important, but it is. You know what I mean? There needs to be some like match sort of like nouse about us winning. Do you know what I mean?
So I don't know if it's the same, mate, but I've done the Quids for Kids ticket selling, and I've done a ball boy in a couple of games in the early 2000s, so the Quinn Phillips era. So I know what the training and the thing is there, and I can tell you exactly what it is. You will get paid a couple of quid an hour, and all you need to do is, when the ball goes out, collect the ball, give it to the nearest player. That's the training. There's no amp up, check what the game score is, give it, prefer that. There's none of that. It is literally get the ball, give it to the nearest player. That's all the training is. And that's that. Maybe they're not actually just switched on and going, oh shit, they just want to be at the game and enjoy watching the game. They don't specifically want to be there for the job that they're hired to do. Does that make sense? It's like a
like kids, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kids is kids, and you know, get these boundaries, like, but they need to be told about the importance of the, you know,
the
this
point.
Is a fucking league game. And if we're behind, you need to be fucking running around, picking the ball up, not just sitting there waiting for the crowd to get involved.
That would be ideal, basically, if the person that was giving them the briefing before the game amped them up a little bit. Because I know that they're literally just sat there waiting for the ball to go out of play. That's all they're looking for. It's like a lino looking for a player ahead of the last man or the ball going out of the line. They're looking for one specific thing. And if they're not enjoying the rest of the game, that then. So it's just giving them. Yeah, he punched the ball boy.
You know, like, but I want my ball boys to be like, right, we're winning here. I'm just going to be right.
All right.
Awkward cunt. Get the ball. I just feel like that maybe they need to be briefed clearly before they go and do the job. I just feel like they're annoying me. Like,
I don't think they're that important to the overall flow of the game. But like you said, they were a bit, like, some of them were a bit slow today. But a couple of days ago. You can't really blame the ball boys for not enjoying it because the rest of the fans didn't either.
Yeah, it's got more. So, I mean, maybe it has got better on the match. I don't know, but I just want them to be more enthusiastic. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And a bit more nose of the match score.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough. I haven't really had my say on the Bristol City game, so I'll keep it very brief because we've talked about it in bits and bobs here and there. I think the result flatters Bristol City more than it does Sunderland, but the fact that we were able to rescue it with Oshish and Roberts connecting together, we absolutely bombarded them and peppered them for the last 25 minutes from like minute 75 onwards. It was only us ever going to score if there was going to be another goal, and I think
scoring made us wake up, I guess.
It's that kind of, why do we need to be woken up mid game, that I'm a little bit worried about more than the other way around. I want us to go heavy in the first 10-15 minutes, then settle around for the 15 to 40 minute mark, and then go heavy again before half time, because that's when teams are the most alert and vulnerable, as in most alert at the start or vulnerable at the start and towards the end of the game. You're just trying to work yourselves out. Why not just try and shake it up a bit and change where you put your maximum intensity? Because Bristol City were a prime example of it. Stoke were Stoke did do it quite a lot, but a lot of teams come up to the stadium light now and park the bus. and were peppering the crap out of their goal. Actually, yeah, Bristol City first half. Absolute prime example. Just getting bodies in the way of the players so they've got the tightest angles to aim at. And it takes a wonder strike. And sometimes we do get them, but we need to work out how to stop teams sitting so deep against us, because when they do that, all we're doing is shooting into a brick wall. So, yeah.
I just think it's boring, mate. Like, just teams sitting and defending. Like, oh my God. I want to see football. It's more tactical now anyway. And like, it's across the board. Playing off from the back, possession-based. You know what I mean? It's you're never going to see, like, fucking Matisse or Gascoigne or fucking, do you know what I mean? Or Ronaldinho run through people. Like, it's just not the way it is anymore. It's very, very tactical. So,
And I get it. I absolutely do get it. But it's, I don't know, if it's purely tactical, all you need to do is do a counter-tactic. That makes logical sense. And I think Labrie is quite a smart man in that. It's just getting his players to understand at the same time. Because, like, again, the Bristol City goal, we were peppering them for the last half, but I say 25 minutes, but it was, yeah, from the 75 minute through to the full-time whistle, we should have scored two or three in that spell. And luckily, one of them actually does end up in the back of the net. But we're dominant in a lot of the games, but we're not getting the maximum points now. Whereas at the start of the season, we were a little bit off the pace, but we were getting 3 points. So, like you said, it's balanced, but ultimately all we want to do is see more points, see us win and climb to the top. Because that's the nature of every football fan, I guess. We want to be the best. Fucking hell, that's so basic. I don't know. The Bristol... Yeah, sorry, just to finalise with the Bristol game. A point for me I'm disappointed with, because I felt like that was there for the taking. We should have had 6 points to talk about in this podcast. Four's fine. Four's good, don't get me wrong, but yeah.
Ballard said at the end, we nearly won. I mean, we could have, would have, should have. You know, want to bang on about that, like, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, we should have scored two or three in that spell. And 3 points would have been the right result, but que sera sometimes, I guess. Yeah. All right. Should we talk about Swansea? The upcoming game?
Let's talk about Swansea.
Do we have another game as well in the midweek?
No, my next one game is. I'm bad for this, you know. I should fucking know. But I only look at the fixtures a couple of weeks before or the week before.
Well, I do it live. Sunderland fixtures between this and the next podcast is Swansea, and yeah, then we've got to wait till the 22nd. So we've got just the one game to talk about, which is good. So thanks to the powers that be, Bing, the win probability for Swansea is 35.2. The rest is a draw, and Sunderland are 34.2. So they're putting Swansea as slight favourites at the Liberty. Is that something that surprises you a bit?
Not really. I feel like we've drew a fair amount of games. I think if you look at the overall form guide there on the open win, we're sort of like middle of the roadish, I guess. So yeah, I get their favourites. You know, they are playing well, and I think it'll be a tough game.
One thing I think we won't do, and we haven't done it a lot this season, is lose. We've only lost 3 games. You've got to remember that. It's just we're getting too many draws. Like I think you mentioned it earlier on, the West Brom style of play, where it's a point's enough, and it's clearly not. So is a point enough against Swansea away from home? Or like, would you be okay with it coming into next week's podcast if we got a point from like today?
You got a point. I'd be like, okay, fair enough. I'd be happy with that. Honestly, I would be happy with that. Like, people like, you know, we need to win. You've got to look at how they're playing and how we're playing. And at the minute, like fucking, of course, he wants to win, but I just feel like I would definitely be happy with a point. You know what I mean? I know what you mean.
What?
Just keeping up, keep us, you know what I mean? Just keep us there. Even though, like, the Bristol City game felt like a loss, really. Like, at least we didn't lose and we got that point. And it keeps us in the fucking top six, which is what you want. So, another point, yeah, obviously you want to win, but I'll be happy with that.
I'd be okay with it. I wouldn't be too upset. It depends on how it unfolds as well. Because we've had some games where, like you said, the Bristol City game where we've drew, I'm more happy that we didn't lose it than upset that we didn't win, if that makes sense. Because we went behind and, I don't know, it's just that constant lapse of judgment from some of our players to let that be slippy. So, I'm just going to quickly go over their form guide at home, just their home games, okay? So they haven't played at home since the end of November, where they drew 2-2 to Portsmouth. They lost 3-4 to Leeds. They beat Watford 1-0, and they lost to Millwall 1-0. And the game before that was at the start of October, a 0-0 draw against Stoke City. They've rarely played at home, but in the last five home games, they've won one, drew two, lost two. I wouldn't be that scared about to get that.
No, but it's like I said, with every team, like I feel like this league's really tight. So you can never underestimate any. The only team I thought was shit was Oxford. You know what I mean? That's the only team I thought, yeah, these are terrible. But the other teams, like, had something about them. Shape, you know, good defensively, good on the counter. So, you know, I haven't watched Swansea this season, so I don't know. So, I don't know. Well,
I've watched, I haven't really, they said that. It's a team you're not really that overly interested in, but I've watched a couple of their highlights, and like you said, they do look quite organised. They don't score and they don't concede as, like, generally their games are not goal fests. They are tight affairs where a moment of brilliance happens. So maybe we've got the better talent to have that moment of brilliance. Yeah. Was it? There you go. In their 20 games, they've had exactly 40 goals. 21-4 and 19 against. For Sunderland, we've had 45, 46. Why can't I do maths? We've had 44 goals. But pretty much the same, but we've scored 29 and conceded 15. So, again, using numbers to help back up a little bit of a stat or a mental picture of what you think is going to happen is I guess how people lose a lot of money on the bookies, right? What's your prediction for the game? That's where I was trying to go.
I mean, I don't want to sound boring, so I'll say Sunderland 1-0. Even though I said it would be a draw, but like I feel like a prediction that obviously I want us to win, but I think it'll be a tight game. Like I'm 1-0 is a draw.
Okay, classic.
Classic, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be the contrarian, I guess. I think it's going to be another draw, sadly. And I'm going to go 1-1. I think we'll take the lead and they'll probably level it to some bullshit referee decision that we'll never agree with, because that feels the typical right now. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a job goal. And I don't really know the Swansea players that well. So, yeah, Swansea to level it like in the 85th minute.
Well, I'd say Swansea 8-5 for the win. We're 13-8, draws 9-4.
Yeah, so it's close.
Yeah, fairly close. I'm doing Davey's job here.
Oh. Thanks, Davey. Cheers, Davey. I'd be ecstatic with a win against Swansea, regardless of how we get it. We'll do a bit of deconstructing and what have you in the next podcast around it, but just the one game to look at and analyse. I will ask you one last question. Which player do you think is going to make the biggest impact in the game? Obviously, you got Iced over the goal, but we've highlighted a couple of players around. I think Job needs to step up a bit more to prove his what's it called? Not his brand.
Maybe you could. I don't know. Maybe he's an assist or a goal from him. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like Dan Ballard was our best player against Bristol.
Yeah.
He looked good, mate. So I think, again, I think it'd be more defensive sort of standout, I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
I feel like the home games, we look a lot better. You know, yeah, I'll go with Ballard.
Back
line.
Like I said, I think the control in the middle of the park is the most important in most of these games, and we lose it at key moments sometimes. So I'd like to see just a bit more leadership in the middle of the park. So I want Job. I know Dan Neal's our captain, but I'd like it to step up further up the pitch to Job, so it gets everybody else pushing higher up.
We're
going to Rex 2-1.
Job's
going to score. There you go. I like the idea of that, mate. Yeah, just get. To be fair, mate, I'd be happy with like a 19-0, but. I just want to see our players try more. I know sometimes it just looks a little bit slow and cathartic, but maybe it's the weather, maybe it's the travel, maybe it's whatever, but.
We don't play as well.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour performance.
Yeah, no worries.
Awesome. All right. Like and subscribe.